Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the host or guest of the following program may not be those of the staff or management of World Media Ministries or Christ the King Radio.
You're listening to The Father Show with Mike Thompson.
Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and you are listening to The Father Show. And this is a show, the Oprah Show for Men is what I call it. And we are here to help men be better fathers, better husbands, better men overall. And I'm your host, Mike Thompson, and you're listening to us right here on CTK World Radio at ctkworldmedia.com. So I thank you for joining us today, and we're going to be talking about a great subject, something new, something different, I believe. And we have a great person here, and I'm going to introduce him by name, but I'm going to let him tell the world a little bit about himself as soon as we get finished. But today our guest is Lawrence Martin, and he's a registered psychotherapist. And we have a great subject today, but I want Lawrence to really tell the audience a little bit about yourself. And I know you gave me some of your background, but I want you to tell them.
Thanks a lot, Mike. My name is Lawrence Martin, as Mike said. I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana. That's where I was born and raised. And through a series of events, I joined the military at about age 19. From there, they took me on a tour all over the United States and even overseas. And somehow or another, I have a pastor friend of mine who needed a minister of music here in Colorado. The Army gave me an opportunity to select where I wanted to be, and he needed help. And so that's what brought me to Colorado, and I ended up retiring there. I have a wife named Melissa. We've been married for 30 years, and she's endured all of my military challenges and all of the transitions from place to place. And so here we are here in Colorado. Wow, we lived in Colorado Springs, but we currently live in the Denver area. We pastored for about 5 years in Colorado Springs. It was one of the greatest and most challenging experiences I've had in my life, but it was very fulfilling, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. We started a ministry there called Shiloh House of Prayer and Praise. It was a unique ministry because it was primarily young people, and a lot of people were challenged by what we were doing. But it was very ironic because usually the parent brings the children to church. In our case, we had a lot of young people from the neighborhood who started coming to our church, and we taught them things like good manners, something we don't see very commonly now.
Absolutely.
And so they were going home saying yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and things like that. And eventually, the parents had to see what was going on, and so they started coming. And so enough about that. As time went on, I pursued a very challenging degree as a mental health counselor. And so what I wanted to do here was find something that I can do to impact society as a whole. I felt at times in my life I had not impacted society as much as I would like to have impacted them. And so I wanted to choose something that I can do with some longevity, perhaps into my 70s, and if my mind holds up and my voice holds up, perhaps into my 80s as well, and have a real opportunity to make an impact on people one-on-one, in family situations, couples, etc. And so here I find myself going down the course of becoming a licensed therapist. So now I'm a registered psychotherapist working with At Peace Therapy Centers, and Jocelyn connected me with Mike, and here I am at the Father Show.
Yeah, and we're glad to have you. And for some of you out there, you might have heard Jocelyn on the show. She used to be on our show usually about once a month, and great young lady. I really admire her and really like her. So it was good to have Lawrence to come on and talk and get into the subject that we're going to be talking about. And we've already talked, and we're going to be having him back quite often for some other subjects. But let me ask you something. You mentioned that a friend was looking for a minister of music. Are you in the music or just the ministry itself?
Yes, I play keyboards, I sing, direct choirs, even taught piano lessons. I do a lot. Not as much now, but I was really involved with the music ministry.
Oh, okay. We didn't know that because I was a music major in college.
Wonderful.
So I've been singing in choirs ever since I was, you know, knee high.
Yes, sir.
But that's good. We have a little bit more in common than we thought.
Yes, sir.
All right. So what is our subject for the day? I'm going to let you explain that.
The subject is rather complex, but let me state it as simply as possible. As fathers, we have challenges because in most family situations, it's either the mother or some other caregiver that really takes care of rearing up the child, because the man, generally speaking, is trying to earn a living for the family and make sure that their needs are met financially. And so oftentimes he's not there. But the father is there at times, and there's a challenging situation because a lot of times he is the one responsible for employing discipline after it's been a long day, and he comes home, and then his wife says, "You need to deal with little Johnny." And so now he's challenged with having to deal with that. But what I really want to talk about today specifically is it's challenging to make the transition as your children begin to get older, and you're making a transition from being very directive, being responsible for the discipline, but being very directive in telling your child what to do. But at a certain stage in their development, we have to learn how to transition from that role into a role where we become more of a mentor. And mm-hmm. so we're guiding, but we're letting them make some decisions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're letting them make some mistakes, but we're still coaching them and we're mentoring them. And so that's kind of what I want to kind of talk about today.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm a big component. I think, you know, like I've told some of the audience before, we do a school program called a choice program, and it's teaching kids that they have a choice and yeah. they are making choices every day that is going to dictate how their life turns out.
Yes.
So, and as a father myself, and like I was telling you, I was a single father for 11 plus years. Uh-huh. That's one of the things that I did. I look at my kids and say, "Look, I'm going to tell you. Now you have to decide what you want to do with it." Right. With that information that you get, you can listen to me or you can go out and do your own thing, and you're going to suffer the consequences either way you go.
Right.
So, and don't look at me, because like I always say that I try to tell my kids and I try to tell other kids, the excuse that you don't know is over, is done.
Right.
You can't use that excuse because you do know, because I've done told you. Mm-hmm. So you know there are consequences, and you know that if you do this, these are some of the consequences that could happen. So I want to make sure, I think that's great that people understand that your kids should be making choices. They need to learn from the choices that they make, whether it's, you know, sometimes good. We're here, as the way I look at it, as counselors, guiders.
Right.
My job as a parent is to guide my kids through this world. I'm not going to tell them what you need to major in. I'm not going to tell them what kind of job you need to have.
Right.
That's not my job. That's not what I'm here for, because they need to find that themselves. Mm-hmm. But I am going to tell them, okay, if you want that job, like I have a daughter, I will tell you, our youngest one, she wants to be a musician.
Right.
All right. Be a musician. But here's what that means. Yes. You as a musician, and you and I can understand this, you need to have an A, B, C, and D, and probably E and a F backup.
Yes.
And so it is not one of those professions that you say, this is what I'm going to be, and right. that's it. It can be.
Yes.
But you have to understand that. And like I tell my daughter now, I said, that's fine. But understand, you have to live off of your choices.
Right.
If you don't want to have a backup plan, that's okay. But yeah. understand, you're going to live off of that no backup plan if you don't make it to the musicianship that you want.
Right.
Or you envision.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to feed you.
Right.
You know, so I agree with what you're saying. And this is, I think, a big component I think a lot of parents need to hear. You know, you're not here to tell your kids where they need to go, what right. they need to do, how they need to do it. You need to guide them.
Yes.
And that's a big thing. So, yeah.
And so, yeah, this is a challenging issue, especially for those of us who have been in the military, because those of us who have been in the military and gotten to a place where we become leaders, oftentimes we can come home and be sergeants or lieutenants at home. Mm-hmm. And we have to learn how to transition because our children are not soldiers.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's really, really challenging. I have a similar situation with my daughter. She did 2 years of school. She wanted to go into forensic science, mm-hmm. wanted to be one of those CSI kinds of people. Mm-hmm. And she was carrying a 4.0. Mm-hmm. And I was really excited for what she was doing. However, somehow or another, she made a decision she wanted to become a licensed barber.
Oh, so that's a big transition.
Huge transition. I think what the thought was to get into her own business. And yes, barbers can make a good living.
Yeah.
In fact, I would rather her be a barber than to be going to crime scenes and having to deal with all that trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder, those kinds of issues. And so I wasn't really happy with her making that choice initially, but it was her choice.
Mm-hmm.
And we explained that to her. You're going to see a lot of things that you're going to have to deal with when you're sleeping. Things that are going to be carried with you.
Yeah.
And we don't want you to start drinking or any other kind of self-soothing behavior that could be detrimental to you in the long run. And so she decided to become a barber. And me being in the coaching, mentoring kind of role, she was 20 at that time. And I said to her, what I would like for you to do is do a pro and cons list.
Mm-hmm.
And so do a pro and con list of what it would be like to be a barber. What are the positive things about being a barber? And what are some of the potential negative things
mm-hmm.
versus what are the positive things about being staying in your field and finishing your 4-year degree? And what are some of the negative sides of it?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe waiting longer to start making income, perhaps.
Yeah.
Not having experience. That's a challenge for people who are graduating from college.
Right.
And so I wanted her to take a look at all of those things and make a decision on her own. Obviously, as her father and wanting her to have the best, I had some preconceived notions in my mind of what I wanted her to choose.
Absolutely.
But she didn't choose my way. And so now she's a licensed barber. And in fact, she cuts my hair. And so she keeps me looking really, really good.
Hey, well, that some benefit came out of that.
Oh, definitely.
I'd rather her work on you now than work on her in the other field.
Right.
You know, so that's much better.
Yes.
But yeah, that's it. I had the same issue with my son who started playing piano or actually started playing electric guitar at the age of 5.
Wow.
And he said, you know, in middle school, he said, Dad, I want to major in music and be a musician. I'm like, really? Wow. Okay. And I didn't see the dedication mm-hmm. that I need to see from a musician.
Right.
And so I arranged it so he can go up to CU Boulder mm-hmm. and talk with the music professor up there. And they gave him a tour. Let them know what to be expected. And it worked out great in some aspects. After we got through with the tour, we went to go have sushi and, you know, sit down and talk. And he looked in, you know, a couple of days later, he said, Dad, you know, I think I want to be an engineer.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, that'll work.
Yes.
But, you know, I never told him no. I just wanted him to understand what is going to be expected of him when he gets there.
Yes.
And then make his own choice, just like you did with your daughter.
Right.
So that's what it's all about. And I think once a kid make their own decision, and we still got to push them, and we still got to help guide them. And like you said, help them make those right choices.
Right.
But don't make it for them is my point.
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we got to take a commercial break so we can let our sponsors get their word in. But you are listening to The Father Show with your host, Mike Thompson, and our special guest, Lawrence Martin. And shortly, we will be back to really dig into our topic of the day. But until then, stay with us. Tell somebody else to tune in, and we'll be right back.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. If you're in the Denver metro area and you need internet, get it now for $1 a day. No bundles, no hassles, and only a 12-month contract. For more information, call World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, that is 720-275-1355.
The Kingdom Connection Christian Center, 10680 Delmar Parkway, Aurora, Colorado, invites you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. for our Sunday praise and worship service. Our teachings are biblically based and our worship fresh and exciting. If you're in the Denver metro area, visit us in person or visit us online at kcconline.org. Join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. in the Rocky Mountain time zone for the Kingdom Connection Christian Center Sunday Praise and Worship Service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and you are listening to Mike Thompson on The Father Show, and our guest today is Lawrence Martin, who is a registered psychotherapist. I always want to say psychologist, but it's a psychotherapist.
Yes, sir.
So, and before we broke, we were, you know, talking about really letting our kids make the, you know, their own choices. And but we have a topic that we want to talk about, and we kind of alluded to it earlier. But let's kind of get into that a little bit, so our audience can hear that how we can help transition.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And so it's certainly vital to understand all the different stages of the development of a child. And as they change, then we have to change. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk a little bit about a few theorists that have some theories about development. And one of those is Erik Erikson. He has a theory of psychosocial development. And so he has it broke down by age and what the child is going through during those time periods. And so let's just take, for example, the infant to age 18 months. He's in the stage, he or she is in the stage of trust versus mistrust.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the stage where they see a familiar face and even they smell their mother's smell or their father's smell when it comes mm-hmm. time for feeding.
Mm-hmm.
They start developing trust by when they start crying, if there's a response, then they learn that they don't have to be in any kind of anxiety because their need is going to be met.
Yeah.
And you know, those needs are very basic at that age.
They right.
They want a bottle
mm-hmm.
or they want to sleep. Or they need to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very, very complicated. But they learn at a very age, early age, to make some kind of sound to get some kind of attention. And if we take care of that at that age and provide that for them, then they become comforted and they don't have to worry about that trust. But they're still in that trust versus mistrust stage.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that was the age group of?
From infant to 18 months.
Okay. All right. Then that's good. And the reason I'm asking, I'm picturing myself because I have two grandkids
uh-huh.
and they're, what, one is 17 months and the other one is 15 months.
Yes.
So, no, the 18 months and 15 months because they're exactly 3 months apart.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen that where they, how they interact with us as grandparents now,
yes,
you know, it's more and more. They're like, oh, okay, I know him. Yeah, let me go over here to him.
Right.
You know, I kind of like him because he's always holding me or he takes care of me.
Yes.
So yeah, you can see that.
Yeah. So you can see at that stage, the parent's role is very directive.
Mm-hmm.
We pretty much are telling the Johnny, don't touch that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't run out in the street. Don't do this. One of our favorite words is no. And subsequently, they learn
no.
Their favorite word is no very, mm-hmm. very early. And so we're very directive at that stage. And rightfully so. We should be. They're still learning. They're still developing. And they just really don't know. And so Erikson goes to the next stage is from 18 months to about 3 years. Now, this is the stage where they're dealing with autonomy versus shame and doubt. And so autonomy basically is when they learn that they're actually a separate entity from their mother. They're not continually connected to their mother. They are a separate being.
Mm-hmm.
And it's trying to learn that. And It's frustrating because they have that term, the terrible twos.
Yeah.
I like to call it the terrific twos. But they're
the
learning.
Only one.
Yeah, yeah. It just sounds more positive that way. And I'm a very positive person. And so, yeah, they want to be on their own. They want to get up on their own. A lot of times they're starting to walk.
Yeah.
And when you try to help them, they don't want help.
Yeah.
If they fall down, you try to grab them, pick them up, and they'll resist you picking them up because they're developing their autonomy.
Yeah, and their independence. I mean, it's,
oh, yeah.
And you, I mean, as parents, you know, we can remember that. I know when my son, I used to give him his last bottle before I put him down, and I would rock him to sleep.
Yes.
One of the best part of my day,
yes,
was holding him, giving him his bottle, rocking him to sleep. And when he said to me, you know, he pushed me off and said, "Nope, Dad, I'm cool. I'm just going to bed." It was like, really?
Yeah, right.
What? What? You know, and it broke my heart. It was like, man, I kind of enjoy these moments.
Yes.
But you're right. They want their independence. They yes. are saying, hey, I can do this on my own. And I don't need you, you know, until I need you.
Right.
You know, other than that, let me kind of learn this and do this on my own. And yeah, that's a very good point. And I've seen it and
yes.
been through it with both of my kids.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's funny you would mention that about your son. I remember when I was in Germany, and most of the times if we wanted to watch an athletic event, it came mm-hmm. on at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning
mm-hmm.
because we only had the European radio television station, and the programming just called for us to have to see it at 2 or 3 in the morning.
Right.
Well, a lot of times my daughter, I recall having a Lazy Boy recliner, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, I would get up, I would change her diaper, I would feed her, and I would sit there in my Lazy Boy and watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I agree with you. It was a very fulfilling, connecting time.
Yeah.
Because during the day, usually mom was doing all of the cuddling and, you know, yeah. and I was at work and I missed on some of that. So
yeah.
when I got home at 3 o'clock in the morning, that was my time.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
I agree. I never forget that. Even my daughter was the same way. My daughter used to go to work with me.
Yes.
I had a liquor store at that time, and uh-huh. I kept her at work with me all day until she was a year and a half.
Wow.
And then I was like, okay, you need to learn how to interact with other kids.
Right.
And so I put her in daycare. But up until that point, no, I had her there with me.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's how can this help parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, to understand what their kids are going through, that progression that they're going through, and, you know, especially new parents.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and with new fathers, you know, a lot of times I get calls from fathers saying they're, you know, they're getting ready to have a kid and they're scared out of their mind because they don't
right.
know some of these things. And
yes.
I think this is good what you're going through. And I don't want to stop because I know you have other ages to go mm-hmm. through, but
sure.
I want us to get back to how this is going to help them. You know, knowing it is one thing.
Right.
That's the first thing. But we want to get into how it can help them to know these things and understand what your child is going through at that, the stage that he's in at that particular time.
Right. Very good point. And so, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We can have all the book knowledge in the world, but until we know how to apply it and how it affects us as parents.
Mm-hmm.
Very good point. And so you have this child that's in autonomy versus shame and doubt. And so what is a parent supposed to do during this time? And so a lot of times I've seen parents who are struggling with that 2-year-old or that 3-year-old
mm-hmm.
who's in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And in the store, they feel like they have freedom. They want to run. And the parents get upset. And certainly rightfully so. We don't want to lose our child in the store. However, the inverse of that is, if the child is not at that developmental stage where they're trying to experience their own autonomy, they
mm-hmm.
want to be independent, then they are developmentally delayed.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a parent, we should, yes, it's challenging. It is challenging. But we should embrace the fact that our child is developing at a normal stage,
mm-hmm.
and this is part of what they're going to do.
So you're saying this is just normal.
It's
normal. Now you got to corral it a little bit.
Yes.
You know, because you don't want them to hurt themselves.
Yes.
They don't want to get lost. You don't want your child to get hurt.
Right.
But they've got to experience
yes.
these things and these activities and what does it mean? So, yeah, I mean, and that's a hard, like you said, it's a very hard thing to remember.
Yes.
A very hard thing to think about. when we are with our kids and they're in the store and right. acting up. And I saw one just recently and I had to yes. laugh. I'm sorry for the pair, but I was cracking up. and it really wasn't a funny situation because the kid was really acting out.
Yes.
But it was kind of funny in a way because you could see he wanted his independence.
Yes.
And he was like, no, I'm going to, because you know how kids are. They jerk their hand away and walk off and, so, okay.
Yes.
All right.
And so there's a lot of different techniques, and obviously I won't be able to get into all of them, but at home we can start setting those boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what children at this stage need to start learning. There are some boundaries. And so they go from being an arm baby into being independent. I can walk now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can even run a little bit. But then we have to start setting boundaries. And those boundaries can be set at home. They can be set in public, wherever they are. And so one of the things that a parent should do is focus on positive behavior.
Okay.
And so if we want positive change, we have to focus on the positive behavior. Children still at this age, they want attention. Now, if we don't give them attention when they do something good, let's say, for example, they stack two or three blocks and they're very excited about that. And they try to get your attention. Mom, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And we're busy watching the game. For you fathers that really like sports, watching the game and not focusing on the fact that the child wants attention because they stacked three blocks. And to the child, this is monumental.
Yeah.
To us, it's just three blocks and it's interrupting the game. However, if we focus and applaud them on that, then they won't get to the stage where they say, wait a minute, I'm not getting his attention. So now I'm going to throw the block. The block hits your cup, hits your chips. And knocks that over, and now we want to give the child attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to understand that
the
we can set those, the wrong kind of attention. So we can set those boundaries at home and even in the store. And we have to learn how to talk to our children. They understand more than we realize, but we have to set those boundaries, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a challenge knowing how to set those boundaries, what really works, what really doesn't. So we have to be flexible and try some different things. But that positive reinforcement really works well.
And I agree with you. I've told a lot of fathers that you have to praise even more than you discipline.
Yes.
Because a child wants to know that they're doing okay.
Yes.
And they want to know that you are proud of them.
Yes.
So I know it is important. And a lot of times fathers are set up to say, you know, wait till your daddy comes home and then he has to be the disciplinarian.
Right.
And, you know, so the kid looks at the father as a disciplinarian.
Right.
When you're not in the home and you are, say you and your spouse are divorced, separated, never been married, whatever, but you're the father. And one thing I always tell fathers is you need to still set the rules
yes.
and set those boundaries for your kid. Just because you're not there,
right,
don't mean you are not supposed to be involved in their day-to-day lives.
Yes.
You know, like I told you, I've been divorced and, you know, a lot of people will say, okay, I'm going to call your dad. No, don't do that. Don't do that. But even though I wasn't in the home after we got divorced, it was like, no, this is what I still expect from you.
Right.
This is how I still expect you to talk to your mom,
uh-huh.
to, interact with your mom.
Yes.
You know, my son, to tell you, him and his mom had a volatile relationship, you know, in a lot of times. But he knew that even though he was bigger, he bet not touch his mom.
Right.
Because he knew he had to come home to me.
Yes.
And I wasn't going to play that, you know. So we do, even as fathers, we have to set those boundaries. Mm-hmm. We have to stand there. And I'm not just talking fathers because mothers need to set the boundary.
Sure.
You were ex-military. I'm an ex-military brat.
Okay.
And so my dad was away a lot of times fighting the war.
Sure.
My mother had to take care of the home. And she couldn't say, wait till your daddy comes home.
Because
one, he might not make it.
Yes.
And two, he might not be back even if he did make it for 6 months.
Right.
So, you know, you're going to pile up all that stuff and then you get a big, big wallop at the end when daddy comes home.
Wow.
So, yeah. And I think that's important. So we got to take another break and we're going to dig into this a little bit more because the understanding the stages that our kids are going through is really important. And we should know these things. I didn't know when I was raising mine. I just kind of observed it and, mm-hmm. you know, flew by the seat of my pants.
Yes.
But we're hoping to help some other families out there to understand what it is. But if you are a man or you know of one that is in need of a resources that can help you be a better father, better husband, or better man, go to the Father Show Resource Program at and that's at www.thefathershow.org and click on your state and find the resources that can help you. And if you don't find what you're looking for, shoot us an email and let us know what it is, and we'll go out and try to find it. But we're always adding new resources on there all the time. But this is a center point for you, so you can find those resources and don't have to look all over the world to find it. So we'll be right back.
Christ the King Radio is the internet broadcast outreach ministry of World Media Ministries, a 501c3 corporation, and Christ the King Radio Ministries. The goal of Christ the King Radio is to follow the command found in Mark 16:15, to go into all the world, preaching the good news to everyone, everywhere. Not just teaching about the power, glory, and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also to provide positive, encouraging information on how to promote and maintain healthy interpersonal relationships and business practices. At this time, Christ the King Radio needs not only your prayers, but your financial support. To help us continue to bring the light unto a dark world, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on either of our website, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. Your tax-deductible gift, no matter how small, will go a long way in helping us to continue to reach God's people and to promote the kingdom of God here on earth. Your gift is tax deductible, and you will receive an electronic receipt when you donate via the links on one of our websites, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. On behalf of the staff and management, thanks again for listening to and supporting Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. Beat the high costs of other international money transfer services in the Denver metro area. Call World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, that is 720-275-1355.
Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the host or guest of the following program may not be those of the staff or management of World Media Ministries or Christ the King Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Father Show with your host, Mike Thompson, and our guest today is Mr. Lawrence Martin. And we were really talking about the different development stages of our kids, and we got up to the age of 3 to 5,
if I'm correct. Yes, we were just getting ready to go into the 3 to 5, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. So I know we want to get into these stages, and I want to make sure we do. So I'm going to kind of hush up and let you get right back into it.
All right. Thanks, Mike. So your child is now developing through Erickson stages, and we're dealing with Erickson, his stages of development. And this is really psychosocial development, which deals with how a person is learning how to interact with others in their environment. So in the period of age of 3 to 5 years, we're dealing with initiative versus guilt. And so this is a period of time where the child is learning to take some initiative. The child is learning more to do some things on their own, but they're also learning to experience guilt. And so this can be very challenging because the child wants to take initiative. The child wants to do things on their own. And a lot of times they don't have the motor skills to do things as well. Let's talk, for example, about cleaning their rooms. Perhaps they just don't quite get it right how to make their bed. They want to try. They're putting forth the effort. They're taking initiative to do it. They even take initiative to clean up their room. And we all know at that age, a lot of times, some of the things they clean up in their room end up under their bed. But they're making an effort. And so this is the stage of development that they're at. They need a lot of guidance from the parent. The parent is there guiding and directing, giving instructions, a lot of time giving example. Here's where your toys go. We're going to put your toys in this box. We're going to put your toys in this area. Setting boundaries, it's time for this. It's time for that. It may be time to eat, and this is the time that we eat. This is the time that we brush our teeth. This is the time that we get ready for whatever activity we have to do, whether it's preschool or daycare. This is the time we do this. But they have initiative. They're trying, but we have to guide them. Mm-hmm. We're really doing a lot of coaching, a lot of teaching, a lot of demonstrating.
So what if they don't try?
If they don't try, then we have to help them along. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we become a lot more directive then. Mm-hmm. One of the approaches that I like to use is just being very, very directive and showing them what to do. What I found is that when we set order, when we set boundaries, a lot of times kids will conform. It may take longer for some kids than others. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we may have to just be more persistent. But once they learn it and they get it, and you talked earlier about consequences. So this is a stage where they can start learning consequences. So if you want to watch your favorite television show, whether it's Barney, I think Barney's probably a little old now, but whatever that show is, then the first thing we have to do is make sure we clean up your room. Once we clean up your room, then you can watch your show. And so we start setting those consequences and boundaries. And I really like reward system. Mm-hmm. So if you do this, then you can do this. Mm-hmm. So if you clean your room properly, all of your toys are in your box, then we're going to allow you to watch your favorite show. Mm-hmm. And so children tend to they tend to conform to that. Again, it may take more time for others.
If you stick to it.
You have to stick to it.
And that's the key that a lot of parents, you know, don't do. They don't say what they mean and mean what they say.
Yes.
And that's where the kids, one, can get confused because they don't know, well, if I do this, am I or am I not going to get to watch, or am I or am I not going to get in trouble?
Yes.
And so you have to be consistent.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Consistency is critical. I mean, let's just take adults for a moment. If we drive down the street and there's a police officer there every single day, the likelihood is that in a 35 mile an hour zone, we're going to drive 35 miles an hour.
I do 40.
So however, if there's not a police officer there every day, there are going to be times we're running a little bit behind schedule. We're not paying attention, or we're intentionally pushing it, and we're going to drive beyond the speed limit. Mm-hmm. So once those boundaries are set and we know it's going to be consistent, as you said, then even us as adults, we tend to abide. Children do the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all in some aspects like some kind of consistency.
Yes.
In our world. And we all, I think, need some consistency. I don't like doing what everybody else do.
Yes.
But I have certain things, you know, we all do. We're going to brush our teeth certain time in the morning.
Yes.
We know when we get up out of bed, we're going to do this. We're going to take a shower. We're going to shave. We're going to put our makeup on, whatever the case may be. But you kind of do it in the same order.
Yes.
Every morning.
Yes. That's exactly right. Yeah. And so also in this stage, they do face some guilt. They are becoming aware that they've done something wrong. One of my favorite examples is when the child 3 to 5 and you tell them, don't get into cookies before dinner. Mm-hmm. You can have some cookies after dinner. But you go out of the room and you come back and they have crumbs around their face and you ask them, have you been in a cookie jar? And their response is, no, I haven't been in a cookie jar. Now, sometimes the evidence is still on their face If it's chocolate chip cookies, it's still between their teeth and they are guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you ask them, so why do you have crumbs around your face? And why do you have chocolate chips between your teeth?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of them that feels guilty. And some children will even cry because you're getting on their case about you did what I told you not to do.
Yeah.
And so they experience that guilt. They are starting to learn right from wrong. And us as parents, we have to reinforce, be consistent, but realize they do have some guilt. And so our punishment doesn't have to be strong. It just has to be consistent. But the reward needs to be consistent as well.
Right. Yeah. And I agree 100%. I think one of the things that sometimes we lack is being rewarding, mm-hmm. being praising our kids for doing the right things or listening or whatever. But we're quick to jump on them, especially in some aspects, fathers. You know,
yes.
We're quick to jump on them when they do something wrong because that's kind of our role. You know,
right.
Mom is, oh, baby, yes, I love you. And I, you know, and that's great. And then, you know, when the kid does something wrong, well, you go see your daddy.
Right.
You know, so it kind of makes us a bad guy. So dads, we have to understand and realize that we just don't take all the bad stuff. We have to sit there and praise our kids
yes.
at the same time. So when you do have to discipline them, they understand that you still love them.
Right.
And, you know, there is a consequence to your actions.
Sure.
And so dad has to discipline you, whatever that may be, sitting you in the corner, you know, and I'm okay with spanking mm-hmm. as long as it's not leaving bruises and stuff like that on your body.
Sure.
But, like you mentioned it earlier, kids are independent mm-hmm. and they're different and you have to learn. Their buttons
yes.
in a sense,
yes.
you know, what is going to, when you discipline them, what is really going to affect them? You
right.
know, some kids you can sit down and talk to and that's all they need. Some kids you have to spank them. They don't get it until they get spanked. And they're like, well, you know, I don't want that to happen no more. So
right.
I'm not going to do that.
Yes.
So you have to take it on an individual basis.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that's important is we can't wait till our children become a teenager.
Oh,
and now we want to employ stiff discipline.
Oh, no. It's too late then.
I'm reminded of the example of the circus elephant. So the circus elephant, as a baby elephant, is tied to a very small stake
mm-hmm.
outside of the tent.
Mm-hmm.
The baby elephant is not strong enough to pull himself from the stake.
Mm-hmm.
And so this happens day after day after day after day, year after year after year after year. And as the baby elephant turns into an adult elephant, the adult elephant has more than enough strength to pull away from the stake. But the training has been very, very consistent. And so he understands or believes, rather, that he can't pull away from the stake.
Yeah.
So it is with our children, especially through the younger years. As we teach them discipline at a younger age, it's much more easier as for fathers to discipline and mothers as well to discipline their child later on because we've set some standards in place and they understand
mm-hmm.
How things work.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on a little bit further. The next stage that Erickson talks about is actually age 5 through 13 years. So this is industry versus inferiority. And I tell you, that inferiority is a big issue these days, especially in school.
Oh, yeah.
I've never experienced the level of bullying that we see in schools today. It's really a significant problem.
Mm-hmm.
With the invent of social media, the bullying has taken it to another level. And so this inferiority that they already feel because they're not as tall, they're not as strong, they're not as fast. It's tough.
It is. And, you know, when you mention bullying in the schools, we all know bullying was there when we were growing up.
Oh, yes.
But however, I think part of the problem is not just the kids, but it's our society as a whole.
Yes.
Because you got social service saying you can't touch your kid.
Uh-huh.
You have because I grew up in the South.
Right.
So, you know, you got out of hand, the South teachers will pull you into the bathroom and they got a paddle and they'll swap you on the butt.
Yes.
And let you know, hey, right then and there, you did wrong.
Right.
When you get home, your parents will probably do the same thing because
yes.
it's like, no, you don't do that.
Right.
So I think we have taken so much power, in a sense, away from parents.
Yes.
That the kids have no concern. I mean, they're like, hey, you can't touch me.
Right. Right.
You know, the school can't touch me, so I can bully that kid all I want to.
Yes.
What are you going to do?
Right.
You know, and that's kind of my perspective of it. I look at it like, I think we've given kids more power, and we're wondering why they are abusing that power that they have, because we've given it to them and they really don't know how to deal with it. They don't even know what to do with it.
You're exactly right. It's like giving a 12-year-old child a Mercedes-Benz car.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what to do with it. It's a lot of power they're physically capable of driving a car, and they may even understand how to drive a car, but they're not ready to deal with that level of power.
Yeah.
And so it's challenging. We have to, again, so that kind of goes back to our subject of learning how to transition our parent role and learning when to give them more responsibility, when to give them more power. But again, I agree with you. Society has given our kids so much power that they put the brakes on any kind of disciplinary action a parent might want to take.
Yeah. And it is really, and I do understand the importance of social service in some aspects, but sometimes do I think they cross their boundaries? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But are there parents out there that do cross their own boundaries?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's no ifs, ands, and buts about that. And hopefully, you know, with this show and other shows that are on, that parents will learn how to discipline their kids, talk to the kids, learn their development stages, which is what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very important. But ladies and gentlemen, we have to take another break so our sponsors can get their word in. And we do appreciate them a great deal. If it wasn't for them, we couldn't be on the show. So everybody, tell somebody else about it. Go to use the restroom if you need to. Take a little break too. And in the meantime, if you are a man or know of a man that is in need of resources that can help them, go to the Father Show Resource Program at www.thefathershow.org and click on your state and find the resources that can help you in your day-to-day life. If you need additional information, please contact me at mike@thefathershowrp.org, and I will see whatever I can do to help myself and our staff as well. But stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. Do you need reliable international long distance that starts at only 1 cent per minute? Then call us at World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, call us at 720-275-1355.
A Day of Jala Ministries, changing the world one life at a time. To learn more, visit the website at www.adeajala.com. Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and you are listening to The Father Show with our guest today, Lawrence Martin, and I'm your host, Mike Thompson. And when we got ready to take a break, we were talking about the age group of 5 to 13, and I know Lawrence got another one. I want to make sure we kind of get into it because it's 13 to 21, and I'm cheating. I'm looking on the sheet.
Sure, yeah.
But this is an age group that one, our engineer, has two girls in that age group, and you have two kids in that age group. And actually, I have four kids in that age group. So I really want to hear this one.
All right. Well, you might have as much to share as I have to share in this particular age group because you're right in it right now.
You too.
I tell you, it's challenging when we pick the baby up from the hospital and they don't give us the manual.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why they hide those manuals, but we need those manuals before we take those kids home.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they need the DNA to that child.
Yes.
You know? So it's not just any manual. Don't give me a manual for a child. No, give me a manual that fits this DNA for this child.
Yes.
So I know what the heck to expect out of this child.
Yes. So true. So the last stage, Eric Erickson's stages of development, is the age group of the last stage we're going to deal with. He has a couple of other stages, but we're just going to deal with this final stage, 13 through 21 years. And this stage is considered to be identity versus role confusion. Makes a lot of sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
13-year-olds, they're at school. One day they're with this crowd, and so they want to grow an afro. The next day they want to be with the crowd that wants to wear colored hair. The next day, and so.
You're right. I've got both of those.
Yeah. So it's a really, really challenging time because they're really trying to figure out who they are. Mm-hmm. They definitely realize they're separate from their parents. And in most cases, it's really, really funny. A lot of children say, I don't want to be like mom or dad.
Yep.
But I think if we just hold on as parents, we'll find out that later on, even they will say, and we've said it, mm-hmm. you know what? I turned out just like my dad or mm-hmm. just like my mother. And so it's not a bad thing that they don't want to be like mom and dad now. They'll come around.
And like you said, we have to remember what we said.
Because
we said the same thing. I don't want to be like my mama. I don't want to be like my daddy. And
that's right.
You turn out to be. And you look up, especially at this age, you start thinking, wow, I remember my mama used to do that. I know my mom used to say that or my dad used to say that.
Yes.
And you look up and that's where kids learn is from their parents.
Yes.
And that's why I think it's so important that kids, you know, parents don't say, do as I do, don't do as I do, but do as I say.
Right.
You know, you have to be an example. And one thing when I speak to adults, I really, and even kids for that matter, I tell them, everybody's watching you.
Uh-huh.
And people are learning from you.
Yes.
So if you think your kids are not watching what you do, uh-huh. think again.
That's right.
Because they are watching exactly. They might be looking out the corner of their eye, but they are watching. And even how you react to a problem.
Yes.
They're watching how you react.
Yes.
And they're going to act the same way. So if you're, you know, somebody that.